On a Monday, you're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're checking in on small businesses as they reopen. Wisconsin has been easing restrictions on retailers since all non-essential businesses were ordered to close nearly 2 months ago. And then in late April, Governor Evers said retailers could offer curbside pickup. 1 week ago, the state said standalone or strip mall-based retailers with exterior entrances could open for a limited number of shoppers. And then came the state Supreme Court ruling allowing all retailers to open without restrictions, except in municipalities that have local stipulations. So are you a small business owner? What is your status on reopening? How is your customer base? Shoppers, where did you go over the weekend? We're at 800-642-1234. Amy Moore owns Little Luxuries on State Street in Madison. The gift shop and accessory store has been open for 30 years, and she's owned it for almost a decade. Amy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for the invitation to join you today.
Well, take us back to that day when you had to close due to the pandemic. What was that like for you?
Well, actually, we closed a few days prior. We ended up closing on March 18th just because even before the mandate, it just seemed like it was about time to do so. So we could just kind of, well, initial shock was where we started. And myself, as well as my staff, we initially just took kind of like a full 2 weeks to kind of quarantine and just absorb what was happening. So shock, I would say, initially. So today is actually our 2 month anniversary since we did close our doors to the public.
So what is your status today? Are you open, partially open? How is it working?
Yeah, so for us, we opened according to the bounce back plan that Tony Evers had advised on May 11th to allow us to open in small capacity. So his new update allowed us to invite five or less customers into our space. So what I decided to do was actually set up a calendar online so people could shop, do personal shopping by appointment only. And in my mind, this allowed one person or one quarantine family group together of less than five so that it would be easier for us to manage, you know, the 6 foot distancing instead of inviting, you know, multi-group quarantining families. So we've been, since then, setting up that opportunity for 30-minute sessions from 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday, for customers to enjoy like a safe experience where we as the staff are wearing masks. We expect our customers to wear masks. We have hand sanitizer at the front entryway. And then we also, of course, our staff uses hand sanitizer. We're washing hands regularly and disinfecting in between each visitor and between each appointment, as well as establishing, you know, making sure we continue the social distancing. And the staff, we're just monitoring their health as well. So if they're not feeling well, they have a temperature, we're checking that before each shift. Then, of course, they wouldn't be coming to work. So we just decided that it would be a good idea to start very small scale so that we could monitor very carefully, you know, the situation and then establish habits that are safe and healthy.
How have bookings been for the personal shopping? Have people responded to it?
Yeah, actually, on the first day that the update occurred on May 11th, we actually had a booking that afternoon. So that was interesting. I think people at that point maybe were ready to, you know, buy those special gifts for their loved ones, or just maybe ready for an experience of being out in a gift shop, you know, on State Street. So, and then since then, I set up a program called Calendly, which allows customers to set up their time specifically on the radio. Or, sorry, not on the radio.
You're on the radio.
Yeah, on the radio. On the internet, and then we could check it. The first day had five established appointments. And everybody, you know, before they come in, we discuss with them what the expectations are, what they'll see, you know, what we expect of them. And so all of them are willing to follow all the guidelines. So that's been really helpful. Just the fact that we're all on the same page and we all want to do this safely.
We're talking with Amy Moore, who owns Little Luxuries. It's on State Street in downtown Madison. It's a gift shop, accessory store, and it opened in 1990. She's owned the business for almost a decade. We're looking at what it takes to be a small business owner right now. Do you own a small business? Do you offer curbside pickup? Have you opened to customers? How is business going? What was it like this weekend? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Amy, a lot of businesses have found curbside delivery to be a workaround at this point. Is that a workaround for a gift shop like yours?
Well, let's see. We did have interest in that. Of course, I think we started with shipping. We moved on to curbside as soon as possible. And what we first established was the opportunity to offer like virtual shopping. I mean, we do offer such a variety of products, and we actually just recently this past week established a website where people could purchase online. So prior to that, we're just kind of establishing the sales over the phone and with pictures and taking videos. So it was a little clunky to be able to offer such the variety that we have to customers, but we've managed to do that creatively.
You establish an e-commerce site so quickly?
Well, initially we really leaned heavily on social media to provide a lot of photos. So people would go to social media, Facebook, for example, and Instagram to see all that we had to offer, because that was just so quickly to look through, and then we'd work through the phone to be able to allow the purchases to happen. But as far as the website, then we evolved in the website, because actually we started that progress back in October, and so it's been actually a slow process. It just so happens that we were nearing the end of it about this time when we so needed it. So it's just changed everything now that we can actually sell online. But even that is still a bit limited. We're establishing just kind of themed gifts, and then we will curate the box set based on that the theme of the gift, whether it be for the baby or the birthday person or a wedding or whatnot. So,
how important is it for you to know your customers and for you to have a customer base who comes back to you right now?
Oh, yeah. I think considering what we're all going through right now, our connection with our community has never been stronger. Each time we are having that conversation and having, personal shopping experience, of course, more stories are shared and a great understanding of the struggles we're all going through together. And then also as far as just the support from the local community, regarding supporting small businesses is just so strong in our Madison area, greater Madison area. And I just recognize that when they show up and literally now they can show up, but they show up in different forms. Mm. And our social media following has grown significantly too during this time, because we've increased our new alternative way to connect beyond face-to-face.
Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Amy Moore owns Little Luxuries on State Street in downtown Madison, and the gift shop and accessory store has been open for business for 30 years. Coming up, we head to Green Bay to check in with the owner of a bookstore. Did you get out to local shops over the weekend? How did you feel about social distancing and the precautions at the retailers and eateries you visited? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're going around the state checking on how small businesses are doing now that many are opening back up. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Mom and pops have proven to be agile, moving to online sales, curbside delivery, even switching production to something new altogether. But losses are deep and wide. Counties stand to lose $68 million in sales tax revenue this year. That was a report published last week by the Wisconsin Counties Association. Do you work or live downtown? What do you see when you pass storefronts? What do signs say on the doors? Did you close your business amid the pandemic? Share your story, 800-642-1234. Amy Mazriello owns Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. It opened last year, selling titles for all ages and interests with both new and used books. Amy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Lion's Mouth hasn't even been open a full year yet. So when you closed, what were your circumstances like?
I have not closed completely. I've been doing online business, and I've gone in every day and have been, you know, taking orders over the phone and delivering and doing curbside pickup or offering or curbside pickup. But I can say that leading up to it, it was getting pretty quiet. Late February, early March, it was getting extremely quiet, which is a little troubling. But at the same time, you know, we expect that.
Coming off of the holiday shopping season.
Right.
So your bookstore probably feels more like a warehousing project at this point.
Exactly. Yes, it does. I've said that more than once to my husband and close friends, that I do feel like I have a really beautiful storage unit that I'm working out of. You know, I'm right downtown across the street from a large corporate building, and it's a ghost town. There's not much going on down there, but my, you know, our online presence has increased a lot, and people in the community have been really wonderful about talking about us on, you know, on Facebook and sharing their experiences with their friends and family. And so we've actually weathered this pretty well, you know, all things considered. Not to say that we're, you know, turning a profit or anything like that, but we're definitely able to pay the bills at this point.
How much has online shopping helped your business right now?
Oh, tremendously. Without it, you know, we would be sunk for sure. Our website is, I've been told from other folks that it's very user friendly. And you know, it's a service that we have through our, inventory and point of sale, software. So, you know, I do really credit the makers of it, and they're, you know, constantly in touch with us to make sure that everything is running properly. And, you know, that, and they're continuously making updates to it to keep things moving. So it's been a lifesaver for sure.
Amy, I would imagine that trying to open up to customers at some point and opening up as a, you know, in a retail format like that would be difficult because there are so many surfaces that people can touch, so many books to touch. How would you begin to make to keep those surfaces cleaned?
Well, we have not opened to the public. We're continuing the, you know, the curbside pickup and free delivery within Brown County. My husband and I are, you know, have been talking about ways to keep things, to keep the space safe, to folks who, you know, who will be coming back in to browse. And, you know, we've thought about offering gloves, suggesting masks, strongly suggesting masks. We will wear masks as well. The other thing we'll do is, you know, if you pick a book up off the shelf, we're asking that you not put it back, that, you know, you bring it to the counter or, you know, leave it on our tables so that we can isolate them for a while and reshelve them when we feel that they're safe. That it's safe to do so. But honestly, you know, this online business that we've suddenly found ourselves in has been working really well. And we've made announcements to the public that we're not ready to open. And we've gotten really positive feedback to that. So we're just kind of seeing how things go at this point.
We're talking with Amy Mazzariello, who owns Lion's Mouth Bookstore in downtown Green Bay. It opened last year offering new and used books and is doing its sales right now online. You can join in with your situation. Are you supporting local businesses in your community? Have you recently bought clothing or games or books, perhaps food at a restaurant? What places have you chosen to support and how do you support them? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Amy, I understand that there was a bit of a misunderstanding after you had closed in April. The Green Bay police were responding to your business after receiving a complaint. Can you explain what happened?
Yeah, when all of this started, I contacted our mayor's office to find out what, if there was any restriction against doing curbside business. And I know that some states do allow their mayors to make decisions based on their specific cities. And so I just reached out to the mayor and asked, the mayor's office and asked if it was okay that I continue the curbside business. And they, at that time, had said yes, that they thought that, that would be fine. So I proceeded with that. And then probably, I forget exactly when it was. It was just a week or a few days before the curbside, but before Governor Evers then allowed curbside business for small businesses. But in any case, my husband was in the store with me in the morning, and somebody saw him and called the police and said that I was allowing customers to browse my store. And they said that I couldn't do that, and I explained who he was. And
he would be customer number one in your life.
He's not only, my husband, he's my business partner.
Sure,
so
sure.
He was in his business.
Yes.
But they insisted that there could only be one person in there at a time. Even though I mentioned that we live together, and that the store was kind of an extension of our home, the way that, we see it as we're there a lot. But in any case, they said no, that wasn't going to be okay, and that I had to have, only one person in there at a time. So that caused a bit of a stir because I did, I did go to social media because that's how we communicate, with our customers these days, and let them know that, curbside was shut down. And then really 2 hours later, the new order came down and it was, it was done. I think it was Monday or something like that.
You were back to offering it. Do you find that it's been difficult to navigate that, to figure out whether local restrictions are the things you follow or a statewide? And now that the statewide order has been overturned by the state Supreme Court, is that tricky for small businesses to navigate?
I really think it's all up to the individual at this point. We do watch closely to the CDC guidelines and the state guidelines, and my husband is a nurse, so he's telling us or bringing new news home every day, and we're always going over the new normals, as you will. And I think at this point it's really just come down to our own personal safety and what we think, aside from following the guidelines. But when it comes to opening the doors, I think people are doing it when they feel they're ready to, and not rushing to, let people back into their stores because they've figured out a way that works for them. And, like in our case, and we're just continuing with that model because things change so quickly and we still don't know, the true impact of this virus. And so I think playing it safe is better. If we can still bring our products and services to our customers, then we, safety definitely comes first.
Amy, what should we understand about being a small business owner in Green Bay right now?
It's a hustle. I know for me personally, I've kept my head down and I've just been working and to fill the orders. from, I had unfortunately had to lay off my part-timer around the 20th of March. And so from that day on, I had gone in and really spent, you know, I'm open from 10 until 3, and then I'm out delivering from 3 until 5 or 6. So from 10 until 3, it was just a matter of filling orders.
Yeah.
And, you know, fielding calls and doing all that. So as far as the real community connection that our bookstore had prior to this, now it's just, like you said, we're a warehouse and we're filling orders. And we're grateful for that, absolutely grateful for that. But it's interesting. It's hard to know how the store is going to look moving forward when it comes back around to being open and we have, you know, the ability to maybe have events, whether those are online events or in person, or it's just, you know, we've had a couple festivals that have been canceled.
Yeah, it's just one day at a time. Amy, thank you for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
Amy Mazzariello owns Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Our next stop is an ice cream parlor in Eau Claire. News update is next on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are on a tour of mom and pops around the state as they negotiate reopening after the state Supreme Court last week overturned the Safer at Home order and allowed, in effect, a return to pre-coronavirus life. But Main Street business owners are expressing immense caution, and there's some confusion over local and state controls. Did you get out and shop this weekend? What did you notice? Do you work for a restaurant or own one? What is its status? Are you serving customers? How? We're at 800-642-1234. Blaine Midtune is co-owner of Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in Eau Claire. Along with his spouse, Kayla, they sell chocolate shop ice cream of Madison and cones, sundaes, and malts. The parlor is named after Blaine's late father. Ramon was his father's nickname. Blaine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. I am so excited to be here. I'm a lifelong listener of WPR and so thankful and humbled to be on your show this morning.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. How is the ice cream parlor doing? What is it like today?
Well, today it's pretty rainy in Eau Claire. It's a quiet day, but over the weekend, we actually did open our doors on Friday. We had hours on Friday and Saturday. We had quite a few people come out on those 2 days, but we do have quite a few precautions, and we're not allowing anybody in our doors right now, but we are selling out of our front door.
Oh, okay. So people are perhaps lining up outside and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So we have, for the last couple of weeks, we've been doing online pre-ordering, but then this past Friday, Saturday, we basically have a table right at our front door where people can walk up. They can place an order at our front door, and then we're serving them out of the back of our building. We have a patio space out back where we're not allowing anybody to eat back there either, but it's just a way to kind of keep people moving, keep crowds from gathering out in front of our shop, and it's worked pretty well so far.
Well, you've had to completely reimagine customer flow, I would imagine, through this pandemic then.
Yeah, yeah. And really, for the first month, we shut our doors when Governor Evers came out and made that directive on St. Patrick's Day in March. And being parents of three kids, we kind of took that first month just to really think about how we want to proceed and what we wanted it to look like when we finally opened our doors. So we've, like your last caller, we've opened things up online. We've allowed for orders online to be picked up on Fridays and Saturdays. We had an amazing response with that effort for the first 3 weeks. And then with the nice weather finally hitting upper Wisconsin, we decided to open our doors this last weekend.
So, you know, in the summer, ice cream, of course, is a favorite in our communities. How do you see the summer months? And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but you must be thinking about how will we manage this when it does get into the 80s?
It is, yeah, we're really grappling with that, honestly. And I heard you ask your last caller, how they were going to be looking at this, or where they're looking for their directive. And we're kind of struggling with that, to be quite honest. We're asking our team quite a bit what their personal thoughts are, what their what how they feel safest. Do they feel safe having people walk in the doors? Do we feel safe having people walk in the doors? We've got team members that have siblings with physical ailments of their own, health issues. So we're concerned about anything being passed around in our parlor and out the door. So yeah, we're really kind of going day by day, quite honestly, week by week, really looking to see what we feel is best for everybody.
How have you dealt with staffing levels? Have you had to furlough or do layoffs?
Well, yeah, it seemed the timing for us was kind of interesting as well. Coming out of the winter months, everybody would could imagine that we're pretty slow in the winter, and then springtime is the time that we really start ramping up. So in March, that March April time, we're kind of thankful that this year the weather hasn't been so nice to start, quite honestly. We still had about 12 or so people on staff. We didn't have to let anybody go, but we did let everybody know what we were doing, what the plan has been. We've been in constant communication with them. So our thinking is that we might be slightly behind when it comes to needing to hire more people on. We do have a staff that's ready and rearing to go right now. They're excited to get back, but we just don't know when that full-time is going to be coming.
How do you handle your product in terms of the ice cream itself, having enough on hand? I would imagine that there's so many flavors. What about
Right.
inventory right now and knowing how much you buy, how if you should hold off?
Yeah, well, that part is it's been pretty good for us. I like to over order and have too much in hand. We've been in business since 2017. There was actually an article written in our local newspaper that first summer where I was actually making special drives down to Madison because we didn't have enough. So I vowed at that point that we always wanted to have enough ice cream on hand for the busiest time. So that's something that we're fortunate with, is that we have a pretty large storage capacity that we keep more than enough of any given flavor on hand.
We're talking with Blaine Midtune, who is co-owner of Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in downtown Eau Claire. You can join in with your questions about what it is like right now to be a small business owner. We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Blaine, take us to downtown Eau Claire right now. What is it like where you're located? What is foot traffic like? What did you see this weekend?
Oof. One thing that we have really going for us is we have just an abundance of bike trails and people that are really active with jogging and biking and wanting to get out with their families. We have a really big family community here in Eau Claire. So we're seeing quite a few people out using the trails. The parks right now, a lot of them are closed to the public, but that's not stopping people from getting out and just kind of enjoying the sunshine and the fresh air when we can get it. I think one of the things right now, like your last caller had said, it does kind of feel a little bit like a ghost town downtown. Some of the busier streets, of course, are still fairly busy with vehicle traffic, but it's kind of an eerie feeling walking downtown and seeing so many darkened windows and closed signs hanging in the doors.
I imagine that the signs hanging in the doors and what people are telling their customers on their doors, is something that stays in my mind even when I walk in downtown Madison. Every door
Yeah.
tells a different story. Since you've been, in the last couple months, perhaps probably behind a little bit on what you could be offering, although, winter being the slower season, are you able to make ends meet and pay the bills?
Yeah, we're fortunate as well, where we we've been doing pretty well with the online ordering. We offered up pretty early, and we had assistance from a multitude of other businesses in Eau Claire when it all started. we started launching gift cards right away, where people could go on, they could show their support by purchasing gift cards. So we had an amazing response from that. We've had a another local print shop company, Ambient Inks in downtown Eau Claire. They've been printing up T-shirts for businesses, and they've been or they're about to directly send those out to the customers that bought them. But $10 of every T-shirt sale goes to the small business that is printed on the T-shirt. So we've had some amazing support. Of course, our financial institution, Royal Credit Union, they've been amazing to work with, and they've been pushing off anything that they can to kind of help us cash flow from a month-to-month basis.
And I understand you run the Cash for a Cause program.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
So that's the biggest thing that we do. A lot of I say this a lot, but the commodity that we sell is ice cream. But the business that we're in is giving hope, and we're giving joy. This Cash for a Cause program that we did is really a way that we want to honor my father, which I have to say you had a beautiful intro. But he touched the community with his woodwork, and he really touched people that way. I had a Lutheran Lutheran pastor as a grandfather, again, touching people. And when we opened our doors, we really wanted to do something more than just selling ice cream. So we came up with a Cash for Cause program. So each week we have a team member that's nominated. We raise tips for the entire week, and 100% of those tips then are given out to a local charity or organization at the end of the week. To date, we've raised just over $80,000 in the 2.5 going on 3 years that we've had our doors open. And we're really hoping to hit that $100,000 mark this summer. But it's been something much bigger and much more well-received than what we ever dreamt of. Yeah, it's just been wonderful.
And you're planning a special thank you event for first responders and medical professionals.
Yeah, so coming up on the 27th and the 28th, we're kind of vacillating again with the timing of all this, but I think we have a way to do it. It worked out pretty well. But yeah, we are offering free ice cream to all first responders, be it police, fire, EMT, as well as the nurses, doctors, hospital staff, that work in the Chippewa Valley. We have a couple of the area hospitals helping us out, sharing that communication out with their staff. And we're about to do a blitz on online as well and really getting that message out. But we really just wanted to say thank you to all these people. And just because the virus hasn't engulfed our area like it has across the country, many of these people are really still carrying around the stress and the anxiety of not knowing if and when this is going to be here. I've talked to a few different nurses and doctors that travel with air mattresses and in bags ready to go in their trunks, knowing that if it does indeed hit, that they may not be able to make it home with their family at the end of the night.
Blaine, thank you for joining us.
I am humbled and so, so extremely thankful to be here. Thank you so much, Kate.
Blaine Midtune, co-owner of Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in downtown Eau Claire. Our next stop, Milwaukee, where we visit with the owner of a gaming store. Stay with us. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're checking in on mom and pops as Wisconsin eases restrictions on retailers, allowing them to reopen during the pandemic. Are you a small business owner, or do you shop local? What actions are you taking? Are you a finance or health expert? What do you advise these retailers on cleaning practices? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Bryant Wilcox is co-owner of Battlebox Studios, along with his spouse Joyce. They opened in downtown Milwaukee in 2016, and they buy, sell, and trade games and consoles, action figures, anime merchandise, and more. And they started Battlebox out of their home in 2003, built it up since then. Bryant, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So what are you doing now with customers and purchases of video games? What is your status?
Well, what we do is we ask everyone before they come by to make sure they call,
before they come by and set up whatever transaction we're going to do, like say if they want to buy something or whatever specific item, to let us know ahead of time. That way make the transaction shorter. And when they do come by, they have a choice of either doing curbside, where we'll come out to the vehicle and do a drop-off or pickup, or we allow them to just come in. But if they come into the building, they have to have some form of face covering, no more than two people from the same group. So one group at a time, no more than two people. I know it sounds kind of strict, but I think it's the best for both of us.
Take us back to when the word came in March that this was going to be very, very difficult and non-essential businesses would close down. What happened to BattleBox?
Well, first off, we became extremely nervous because what we do is we buy, sell, and trade merchandise. So we have to deal directly with people, with the public. So we were extremely nervous about that. And then we also figured that a lot of the supply lines were about to start shutting down too. So it was going to be very difficult for us to get merchandise. So we basically just battened down the hatches, went up into storage and found, you know, get as much merchandise as we could, stuff that we had put away, and lots of our personal stuff as well. So like our personal, you know, game consoles that we had accumulated over time, we end up, that stuff ended up going on the chopping block as well. So yeah, I ended up selling my personal PlayStation, my daughter's solar Xbox and stuff like that, because the merchandise went so, so fast. A lot of people don't know that at the beginning of the quarantine, just like you saw on television where folks were going crazy after the toilet paper and water and the essential stuff like that, people were going after the video games and stuff the exact same way, but it just didn't get any exposure for some reason. I don't know if folks were going to be quarantined inside and they just wanted something to do, but they came after these games like crazy. So it was a mad rush right at the beginning. So our inventory kind of went out the door maybe that first couple weeks of the quarantine. Probably about 80%, I would say, of our inventory left out the door because of that.
Wow. And if you have such low inventory, that really must hamper your business, because then there's nothing for the customers.
Well, right now, that's exactly what we're going through. The governor gave the go-ahead to be able to open. We didn't want to not open and be overlooked. And we assumed that the big dogs, you know, the GameStops and the other places, they were going to open back up. And if we didn't open up, you know, when the governor gave the order to, that we would just basically, we were ending ourselves. So we had to do something, had to come back. So we came up with a new policy, just kind of like revised it and tightened it up. And here we are today, struggling, trying to get merchandise and get sales. We're open, but then again,
it sounds like you're reluctant about being open, that this may not be the right thing, but you're doing it so you can stay competitive with the other retailers out there in your sector.
Well, staying competitive with other retailers is another way to look at it, but ultimately we got to put food on the table. So it's something that we have to do, even though we really didn't want to do. We had discussions about this. We wanted to just stay shut down until there was a stronger, you know, COVID testing program set up or whatever, or at least some sign of some vaccine or something coming into you know, actually going to be crafted at sometime soon in the foreseeable future. But it just seems like, so now it's all risks. I think we're doing it about as safe as you can possibly do it. I know we're going through a lot of cans of Lysol spray, disinfectant spray, and also alcohol.
Bryant Wilcox is with us, co-owner of BattleBox Studios, along with his wife Joyce, which opened in downtown Milwaukee in 2016. We're looking at his situation in being a gaming store. You can join in. Have you visited small businesses? Are you one? How are you approaching the reopening, and what type of precautions are you taking? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Bryant, I understand that you bought into a new video game lounge next door to your building, which had opened in January, which has yet to have a real chance to open to the public. What does that entail, and how are you navigating that?
Well, there were two properties adjacent to the building where we run our shop out of. And so basically for the last 3 years, we've been, once we acquired it a couple years ago, we've been renovating it little by little, because we never really had the funds to do so. So each sale was a trip to Menards or Home Depot to get drywall, paint, you know, whatever thing that we needed to fix it up. So basically over 3 years, we chipped away at it, finally got it open in January, and then the rest is history with the pandemic coming out of the blue. Like, we just got the doors open, and it started going pretty good. Like, it's a gaming lounge, so you know we party, and you know, tabletop gaming and you know, video games. We also have tournaments, you know, fighting game tournaments and so forth. But folks are really liking it. I mean, they really enjoyed the place, and we'll be back eventually, hopefully. I don't know when. Like, I don't see any time in the foreseeable future. I hear a lot of places are talking about opening in June and July, and we're not going to feel safe. You know, I know my wife and my son and Brian, which is a co-owner, that's my son as well. He's a Milwaukee firefighter, as a first responder. So he's actually on the front line of this pandemic. But he's one of the owners as well. And, you know, he sees it firsthand. I don't know. So right now we're just like kind of riding the wave. And it's
Are you able to pay the bills?
Well, that's the... I mean, God, I guess there's really not a plan to do so, because it's so unknown. We're just dealing with things as they come. You know, like I say, we've been selling a lot of our personal possessions too. We did an auction where I sold a lot of stuff that things I've been holding on for dear life for years. I had a Darth Vader, a David Prowse autographed picture, Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
I sold my PlayStation 2, something I had painted, custom painted years ago. I was kind of proud of. That went. It was a lot of stuff. Stuff I got for my wife got me for our anniversary. Some action figures and stuff like that. She had bought me this Batman statue, and all of that stuff had to go. But those are just possessions. That stuff will come back sometime. Right now, we have to focus on the important stuff, like, you know, paying for the energies and keeping the utilities and stuff on up here. And the merchandise part, the gaining merchandise is the really extremely hard part. And then, you know, the big dogs, they're all doing their thing too. And, you know, they're more well-known than we are. So if people have anything they're going to sell, you know, as far as video game-wise, they're taking it to those places first.
Yeah.
A lot of those big guys are in trouble as well, so they're feeling heat. But then again, they have, you know, savings to fall back on. Unlike us, like I say, we literally, not figuratively, we literally spend the bulk of our life savings putting that the battle lounge together. And then this happened. So you're talking, I couldn't think of a worst case scenario.
Brian, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Bryant Wilcox, co-owner of Battlebox Studios in Milwaukee. Earlier, we talked with Little Luxuries in Madison, Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay, and Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in Eau Claire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.